Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 133. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. In this week's episode, I want to take a look at MuseScore 3, and I want to answer the question, can this piece of open source software be used in a professional setting? So what I want to do today is tell you a story about a project that I have been working on over the last week. Last Wednesday, I had a couple of hours where I could start something new, maybe start a small project, and I wasn't really quite sure where to start. And over the last several weeks, I have been sort of reading up on MuseScore 3, the latest version of MuseScore 3, how it had been just released just before Christmas. And one of the things that I wanted to do with it is sort of give it a test run and tell you all about it and see what I could do, how far I could bring it, and if it's something that I could use on a professional level. Now, besides being a podcast host, I'm a music teacher, so I'm often using MuseScore to write out parts, give to students when they need something. But one of the things that I've always wanted to do is write a big band chart for the professional big band that I run. I like the idea of using open source software. I'm an open source software advocate. And with that, being able to sort of produce something, write the score, write the music, write the parts, export them, and print them, that's really something that I'm going to find useful in the future as other more proprietary pieces of software sort of move forward and into directions that I don't necessarily support. So I downloaded MuseScore 3 a while back and finally got around to having some time to work on it. And I opened it up and I was originally sort of trying to think of a way that I can arrange something for big band. Didn't really have any ideas right up front. And I sort of sat looking at the new project screen for a few minutes. And then I remembered about a week prior to this, I had watched the documentary called Revolution OS on YouTube. Talks about the GNU project, talks about how Linux was created. And at the very end of that video, there was a song that I had never heard before. Not necessarily the greatest song ever written, but it's sort of the anthem for the Free Software Foundation. It's called the Free Software Song. Now, this is a song that at first I sort of found quite humorous. I didn't understand a lot of the meaning behind it. I didn't understand what it was all about. And one of the things that I wanted to do kind of as a musician was maybe incorporate the melody of the song into a improvised solo, or even make a part of it, sneak it in an arrangement of a big band chart that I would be working on. As time went on, what I decided to do was actually, the more I learned about this tune, the more I learned about what it was about, the history behind it, the more I became interested in making it a song of its own. So what I'd like to do first is I'd like to play a clip of Richard Stallman singing the Free Software Song. Now, keep in mind, Richard Stallman is the founder of the Free Software Foundation, not a musician. He's in a group of people, and he's about ready to explain the Free Software Song. And I'd like to play that for you right now, and basically just so you have an idea of what it sounds like.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free hackers. You'll be free. Join us now and share the software. You'll be free hackers. You'll be free.
So I'm not going to play the whole song for you, but that's the general idea of the melody. It's kind of a catchy melody, and the more you listen to it, the more it sort of sticks in your head a little bit. So that's what really got me started with this melody. And when I started doing research on the melody, it turns out that this is actually from a Bulgarian folk song, and it's originally written in 7/8, and so it kind of has that unsteady meter to it that often many people will mistake as you know, someone who isn't singing in rhythm or in time. So one of the things I wanted to do was create this big band chart arrangement of Richard Stallman's Free Software song, and I wanted to do it in open source software, so MuseScore was my number one choice for this. So what I decided to do, as time went on, I made the score in MuseScore. I basically wanted to write it for a standard big band, which includes 5 saxophones, 4 trumpets, 4 trombones, a guitar, piano, bass, and drums. Standard big band chart, nothing fancy. What I really noticed first off with MuseScore 3 is just how far it has come over the last few months. Now, I had got the opportunity to interview Daniel Ray from the MuseScore project probably around episode 103, somewhere in that time range. I'm not exactly sure what episode it was off the top of my head. But during that time, he had told me MuseScore 3 was coming out soon. Make sure to check it out. Probably be around December when it happened to come out. So, all right. So, coming from somebody who has had a lot of experience with the proprietary music notation software that's out there and available, I sort of had high expectations for MuseScore. I've used MuseScore off and on for years, but never at a professional level. When I decided to go look at all of the release notes for MuseScore, and especially the newest version of MuseScore, I was really kind of blown away with a lot of different things that were added in this particular version. Some of them I want to talk about today. So I want to talk about the good things. I want to talk about some of the sort of hiccups that I've had along the way, and give you my whole overall perspective of if I think MuseScore can be used in a professional setting or not by the end of the episode. So the first thing, setting up the score was very easy. And I have watched MuseScore tutorials before. I know about note inputs and music note inputs. And I know my way around the software more than a beginner would have. So the very first thing that I noticed in MuseScore 3 is the ability to take tours of all the features. And I think that's a great addition to MuseScore for somebody like a student, a high school student who has never used a music notation software before. Having the ability to understand how the software works and getting over that learning curve as quickly as possible is something that's very, very important. So that immediately caught my eye, and you can turn the tours on and off at any point in time if you'd like to learn about something, or if you're just tired of the pop-ups, you can turn it off and it doesn't get in your way anymore. The first thing that I realized is immediately I started inputting the melody of this song, the Free Software song. So I started inputting the melody, and I noticed right away that my workflow in composing using this software was much quicker than I expected. Now, what I mean by that is in certain tasks that you have to do using music notation software in the past, I'll give you a few examples. If I'm writing a jazz piece and it had to have something like slash notation, what slash notation is an area where you can take your score and create slash marks that just represent time for an improvised solo. And with other notation software out there, you would either have to have a plugin that you added to the software, or you'd have to go through several different menus to get the slash notation to show up. And so I didn't really know how to do that in MuseScore. So I, of course, do what everybody else does, go to Google and Google it. And immediately the documentation was right there, told me how to do it, drop down menu and fill to slash marks. It was so easy. And I was kind of blown away. I was kind of stunned. Super easy to do. So as I started doing this and I started composing, I started writing the melodies, and I wanted to duplicate parts. I wanted to have certain parts in unison. Copy and paste worked really well. And I know that was something that I always liked about MuseScore and other software that I've used before. That was not really that easy to use. So what I found most useful about MuseScore as I was going through this process of composing was that anytime I didn't know how to do something, the documentation for MuseScore was right there, and it was one or two clicks away. It was very, very easy to find answers and solutions to something that was tripping me up. To give you an example of that, how to put in chord changes, chord progressions for, say, piano or guitar, not something I had ever done in MuseScore before. And to be quite honest with you, this is anytime I arrange something, putting in the chord changes in my arrangements was always like one of the last things that I did because it was just so cumbersome. It was all difficult to do, and it was just a giant pain. And with MuseScore, it was so incredibly simple. I believe I just hit Command and I believe K or T. I think it was Command K, and basically I could just type in the chords and go on to the next one, and it was so smooth, so easy that I was done in just a few minutes. So here I am with a couple hours of time, and before I knew it, the sort of overall structure of my score was there. It was one of the fastest experiences I've ever had with arranging something. So I was really sort of pleased on just how smooth everything was happening. As far as the layout goes of MuseScore, I found it really surprising that just how much thought and effort has been put into the overall layout, whether it's things like adding bar lines, adding repeats, or adding dynamics. They're all within one or two clicks, and it's very easy to add something to your score with almost minimal effort. Again, this is not an experience that I've had where everything is sort of at your disposal, and it makes it very user-friendly, and it makes you want to stay in the score, makes you want to keep working on your project, because it nothing about this experience at all for me was stressful as far as just getting the ideas in my head onto the software where I could then hear it back. Now, when it finally came to playback, let me tell you a little bit about the song that I'm writing. I told you before that it's basically a Bulgarian folk dance written in 7/8 usually, and later became the anthem of the Free Software song. So if you're not sure what the Free Software movement is, I'll explain really quickly. The Free Software Foundation believes that every piece of software should allow for four fundamental freedoms. The program should be free software that these users have the ability to do things like run the program however you wish for any purpose. You should be able to study the program, how the program works, make changes to it for whatever your computing needs are, and having access to the source code is a fundamental precondition for this. The next freedom is the freedom to be able to redistribute copies so that you can help others, and those others or yourself can redistribute modified versions of the software, and by doing this you can benefit the community at large, and everyone has the opportunity to benefit from your changes. So in the spirit of those freedoms, what I have done is sort of taken liberties with the time signature, taken liberties with the rhythms and the melody of this song, and I've changed it from that Bulgarian folk dance to rhythms and styles from all over the world. I have started with some Afro-Cuban type drum elements, and also I have introduced some bossa nova elements into this as well. I took the chord progression from the bossa nova girl from Ipanema, and I'm using that for the solo section in the song. So it has a wide range of different things that I've added into this song. And so it has a sort of an introduction, and then you hear the free software anthem played by one group of instruments, and you sort of introducing the melody, goes on to a solo section that is all improvised. Again, that idea of freedom, not as in gratis, but as free as in liberty. So that idea is, it's not just free as in you're not paying for it. It's a fundamental right or liberty that you, your privacy is respected, that you're allowed to use this software in any way that you wish. So again, this improvised section, any soloists can play whatever they feel like as they're taking a solo. So they have the liberties and freedoms there. And then at the very end, the melody returns with a couple of counter melodies that sort of build. And that's the whole community aspect of this song that I wanted to portray. So you have the original melody being played over a counter melody and sort of culminating in all the three different sections, the saxophones, the trumpets, the trombones, playing these melodies together, sort of in the spirit of that free software song or free software anthem, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, from somebody who was not really trying at first to make this whole arrangement, this is something that just happened at the spur of the moment, this song came together very, very, very quickly. And I will say that my overall experience using MuseScore was very, very positive. As far as one of, you know, a primary piece of software, especially open source software that I use, I have very high expectations. And so I've used things in the past like Audacity that crashes on me every 5 minutes. So I tried to throw a lot at MuseScore to see if I could get it to crash. It has not crashed on me yet. The amount of updates that I have seen from the MuseScore project over the last year has just been incredible. MuseScore has come from so far in just a little bit amount of time. Really quickly, I just want to talk about some of the issues that I have had when I was writing this score. So first, the issues that I had were very minor, but some of them were a little frustrating at times. So to give an example, just a little bug that I ran into was sort of the measure select tool. If I was trying to select a specific measure or specific area of time that I wanted to copy and paste into somewhere else, I would often have a couple of different things happen. Either I would accidentally select the note, or I would accidentally only select part of a measure when I wanted to select the whole measure, and or if I was trying to select the whole measure, nothing would happen. And so I would try to click in an area that didn't have any music inputted into this measure, and my mileage varied dramatically. So the select tool was a little frustrating at some points in time. And whereas, you know, in certain areas I was clicking 8 or 9 times to try to select a measure, that got a little frustrating at certain points. And if I were to try to copy, say, 8 measures of time, I would have the first measure copied and hold down shift and go to the last measure and try to select it, and I'd select a note instead of the measure. And it slowed me down a little bit. What I found fixed that is zooming in a little bit. That helped. I was able to zoom in to a point where I could select everything. Not exactly ideal when I'm trying to look at the score as a whole, but for the most part, I was able to work around it that way. Another bug that I came across that sort of I just caught by accident was when I was basically, I had the score almost complete. I wanted to create a couple of parts just to see how they looked. So I created an alto 1 part, an alto saxophone 2 part, and I wanted to compare it to the score and see how everything was laid out. So one of the biggest features of MuseScore 3 is the automatic positioning. I believe it's called magnetic positioning or something like that in other types of software. So the automatic positioning takes all of your markings that you need and makes sure that they don't collide or clash, and just make sure everything looks pretty much exactly how it should. you may, depending on preference, like to switch them around and just move things left or right a little bit, which is very easy to do. So one of the first things that I noticed was when I created these actual parts for the instruments that everything looked pretty good for the most part. And if I would make changes on the score, it would reflect on the part, which was very kind of handy. Well, there's a couple of times where I copied and pasted a melody line and I would lose the notes that were tied together. I would lose the little ties on the notes. So I would lose it in the actual part, not the score. So that was kind of frustrating because I could see that it was written on the score, and but the actual part didn't have it. What I did was I closed the part out, reopened it, and it was all there. Not really a major issue, but again, something that took time away from other things that I was trying to work on. And just a little bit of problem solving, really not a big deal at all. Another thing that I always struggle with as myself as a composer is writing drum set parts. And I don't usually like time-consuming, monotonous things. And in the past, when I've arranged and have it including a drum set part, again, one of the things I always do last are my least favorite things. And when I started writing this song, I actually jumped in first and I really wanted to get the rhythms happening that I heard. So I jumped in, I wrote the drum parts, and quite frankly, the drum, writing music for drum set and music score is so crazy easy that I just, again, found myself saving time and actually enjoying the music writing process with music score. So never had any problems writing drum set part. Another positive observation there that I think I should bring up. So a couple other small issues that I ran into. One of the issues that I ran into with the drum part, and I'm not really exactly sure what happened, but at all my rehearsal mark areas, whether I have letter A, letter B, letter C, letter D, I usually put a double bar line. And in the solo sections, I also added a few double bar lines to help kind of make things easier to see so that when the musician is sight reading this tune in a few weeks, that it's something that can be read fairly easily by a professional musician. When I exported the drum part, only in one specific area, these double bar lines weren't showing up that I had put in. And again, not something that I would try to fix it. I'd try to add them and it wouldn't work. And so then again, what I'd have to do is I'd have to go take the drum part and I'd have to close it and I'd have to reopen it up, and then everything was there. So that was sort of my trick for any time I ran into an issue like that. Kept the score open, just closed out the drum part, made the new drum part, and it was all there and ready to go. So overall, though, the layout of how everything looks, not to mention the new jazz font in MuseScore 3, the new jazz font is very nice looking. It's great to see a jazz font in MuseScore. My overall impression of MuseScore is that goodness has this come a long way, and I'm so very, very impressed with how much time and effort is being put into this project. So one of the things that I wanted to do is, in a few weeks, my band has a performance, and we're going to actually record the song live at one of our performances, and we're going to basically make this available under Creative Commons license so that anybody can use this score sort of in that spirit of the Free Software Foundation. Basically, what I want to do is make this available for anybody who wants to use it, take a look at it, read through it, play it, change it, do whatever. And there's not really a better place to do that than MuseScore.org or MuseScore.com, where you can actually upload the scores and let other musicians take a look at it. So MuseScore has that ability in the software itself where you can send it right to MuseScore, and you can either set it as a private score or make it public for everybody to see. So I uploaded it to MuseScore and the website, and I made it private for right now. I'm not ready to release it just yet. But what I wanted to do was see what I could do with it from there. So I uploaded the score, and I made some notes on what the song represented, kind of what I talked about earlier, and added that in the description. And I sort of researched the Creative Commons license because I've never really had to use Creative Commons for anything in the past. And because this is a traditional song, the original Bulgarian folk tune is called Sari Moma. And that basically, because it's traditional, doesn't really have a composer. A specific musician, if they record it, they could copyright it. But in this case, I don't think it is copyright at all. The Free Software Foundation has made the lyrics in public domain. So you don't really need, because of public domain, you don't really need the Creative Commons license. But I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that this was available to use for however they would like to. So what I'm going to do is the first Wednesday in February, I'm going to record this, and we're going to make the recording available as well. With that, I will shortly thereafter release the score on and make it public on MuseScore so anybody can use it. And just kind of using it as a way to give to the community and both communities, the MuseScore community, giving them music where someone else could find it on their website, and giving back to the Free Software Foundation in sort of a respectful way to say, hey, this is my creation of the Free Software song. I'm sure somebody else out there could have done a much better job at it than I could. I don't pretend to make myself a professional composer by any means, but this was a lot of fun, a really fun project to get to know MuseScore, get to be involved with writing something that's going to be played as a professional group. This first read through, when I hear the band, I may make changes eventually to it as I hear what it actually sounds like. But it's kind of a fun project. I sort of got a little inspired as the week went on, and so I basically had the whole tune done in sort of a rough draft sort of state within a couple of hours. And then so over the next few days, I sort of made changes and tweaks and printed out the score and made some edits and printed out the score and made some edits. And as time went on, I realized that I was just having fun with MuseScore. And that really doesn't happen a whole lot when it comes to music software. Now, I will say that there are some things that need improvement with MuseScore. So, and I've talked about some of these in the interview with Daniel a while back. I'm still not really impressed with the overall quality of sound and playback, music instrument wise. There were times when I was playing a unison part that was played by five different instruments, and all of a sudden, as I was playing it back, I could hear a harmony part that I did not write. And the harmony part was obviously something that I didn't want in there, but it was also just very distracting. It was almost like, and I think what the problem may have been is, I think on my baritone saxophone part, I think what I was doing is I was converting from concert pitch. I was converting back and forth between concert pitch. And I think for some reason there may have been a bug that the baritone saxophone part was sort of stayed in concert pitch, but when I switched it off of concert pitch, those notes were still there, and it was causing my brain to almost go crazy for a few minutes trying to figure out where all these wrong notes were coming from. And what I did ultimately, it would happen very sporadically, and sometimes it was there and sometimes it wasn't there. And every time I tried to record the audio just so I could hear it playback, I'd hear those wrong notes. Just a little bug there that I'm not really sure how it happened or why it happened, but it was there. And so that's something that could be improved on. I know that from the interview that I did a while back, that's something that is constantly being worked on, constantly being updated. Now, that is the point that I'm actually arriving at. Not the fact that there's a bug or an issue, but the fact that MuseScore was released on December 24th, this version, and already since then, there has been an update to the software. So I believe, I don't know exactly what version number that I'm on. It looks like 3.0.1.20439. It's the available newest version available for Mac, at least. And so what's great about it being open source software is that these bugs are constantly being worked on, constantly being improved, and within a relatively short period of time, these should be fixed, that I would imagine. And that's the most exciting thing about using something like MuseScore. Now, MuseScore just isn't just a music notation software. It's a whole community. They have a whole online environment. I want to give you another example of something I've done recently with MuseScore. So not only do I run a professional big band, but I'm also putting together a small group sort of based off of all of those members. And one of the things that I want to do is, with that small group, play lots of different styles of music in that small group setting to offset the huge sound of the big band, having those moments with the small group in concert. And so one of the things that I wanted to do recently was we wanted to play a version of John Coltrane's Resolution. That's from a work of art that he wrote called A Love Supreme. And Resolution, I basically just wanted a lead sheet. I wanted to have everybody learn it, and we'll play it the next time that we get together. And I was having trouble finding lead sheets for it. And MuseScore, all of a sudden it hit me to check the MuseScore website. Sure enough, there's a lead sheet there for Resolution. And I printed off, opened it up MuseScore. I transposed the parts to all the parts that I needed. And I was done in 3 minutes. And MuseScore helped me get to that process. So it's not just the music notation software. It's the community. It's the whole environment online where you can upload your scores, you can share your scores, you can get scores from other people, and you can comment, you can learn all sorts of things. Now, once my score was uploaded, the next thing that I wanted to do is try the MuseScore app for iPad. I was able to open the app, was able to sign in, my score was right there, and not only could I play my score on the iPad, but I could also If I was in a rehearsal environment and I just wanted to look at my score really quickly, it's right there. Everything that I need is made available. So, like I said, MuseScore has come a long way in a short period of time, and it's only going to get better from here. So my answer to the question, is MuseScore something that can be used in a professional environment? Absolutely yes. Without a doubt, MuseScore is right up there, if not now better than other music notation software that is out there. And I will say, no piece of software is perfect. There is always going to be bugs. There is always going to be small issues here and there. But I would rather get behind a community effort. I'd rather get behind something that's free and open source software. And I would rather support that over the something that is going to release once every year or once every 2 years or maybe never even release ever again. So from now on, anything that I do music writing wise will be done in MuseScore to not only support the project, but because of the ease of use in it and everything else that I was trying to do. If I didn't know how to do something, the documentation was just stellar. And so that's what I basically have to say about MuseScore. That's my comments. It totally can be used in a professional environment. And it sort of has inspired me maybe to want to do one big band chart a month and see how that goes. Maybe I can do a new song every month for a year. I think that would be kind of a fun project to do for 2019. Something I'm thinking about. I'm not sure yet if I'm going to actually do that or not, but it has got me interested in learning to see what else MuseScore has to offer. So that's going to do it this week, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And once the new song is absolutely completed and we have a recording, I will put it out and I'll play it on this show just a few weeks from now. But check out MuseScore 3 if you're a musician of any kind. whether you play piano or violin or trumpet or clarinet or saxophone, whatever it is that you play, MuseScore is a great piece of software, and I encourage you all to use it. That's going to do it for this time, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you next time.